Thank the Lord to be able to be here with you all this week. And it's good to see each one. And our prayer and desire is that the Holy Spirit would just, as Brother Ed prayed, that the Holy Spirit would pour out a special blessing. That's the only way we're going to be ministered to in this service or in any of the services this week, is when we open up our heart and the Lord has mercy upon us and sends His Holy Spirit to minister to us. So ask an interest in your prayers that the Lord would just be with us in the message this morning. The message title that the Lord had put on my heart for this morning is entitled God's Design. And I'd just like to invite you to worship the Lord with me a little bit. We may come to services like this and we have our expectations of what a revival meeting is supposed to be about. But I know nothing better or more than for us to lift up God and exalt Him. And when we recognize who God is, it begins to help us recognize who we are and the place that we play in the scheme of things. If you will turn with me to Psalms 19. Psalm 19, we'll begin reading with verse 1. David was speaking, and he said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Have you ever been out, I'm sure probably all of you have, on away from the city lights, outside, at nighttime, and looked up and saw the beauty of the magnitude of stars that are out there? And it makes us feel so insignificant. And yet it's so marvelous, and it is magnificent to look at the millions of stars that are out there, and we're just so small. And yet when we recognize that it was God that designed that, it was God that created that. The heavens declare the glory of God. How many times have you seen one of the beautiful sunsets? And I know Oklahoma has some beautiful ones. But you see that beautiful sunset as that sun begins to lower below the horizon, and the heavens declare the glory of God. God created that sun. He created the moon. The other night I stepped out at home and there was a beautiful full moon. Red and orange, and it was just, you stand in awe at the look of that moon. It declared the glory of God. And if it is so great out there, consider how big God is. Well, the scripture says in Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart that what? Remember? Said that there is no God. It's the fool that says in his heart there is no God. Because God is the creator. And He designed the universe. He designed the aerial heavens. He designed this earth. And do you realize that He designed you too? He designed each one of us in a unique and a special way. We are this morning a creation of God. And as the heavens declare the glory of God, so it is His desire and His plan for you and for me also to declare and show the glory of God. But we don't have to be afraid of science this morning. Now, I have heard many times people tend to think, well, if you serve God, you ridicule science. Do you know that science demonstrates over and over and over that there is a creator and that there is one that designed what we are experiencing in this life? Now, I don't question the science. I question scientists sometimes. I question their interpretations. I question their motivations and their ideology. But I'm not afraid of the science, because mathematics and music and science, what they do is it proves God over and over and over, because it declares the glory of God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, at the very beginning, the scripture says that God created the heaven and the earth. He brought to fore something that was new. Now, it takes more faith to believe that there is not a God than to just acknowledge that there is a God. Because to take the idea that something came from nothingness, I don't have that much faith. But the scripture teaches us that in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And it was speaking about an eternal God. And anyone that believes that something came from nothing, talk about having faith. But when you begin to recognize that where something, if something started somewhere, it means something created it, right?
Yes.
If there was a beginning, what was before that? And you know what science is showing more and more today? Science is proving, whether they like it or not, it is showing that the universe had a beginning.
Yes.
That's what the science, the modern day astronomy and astrology, it's showing that there is a beginning. Do you know what that demonstrates?
Yes.
We knew it all along because it's in the scripture. There was a God.
Yes.
And in the beginning, He created the heavens and the earth. We need not be afraid of astronomy either. It proves God.
Yes.
Over and over. Where there is a beginning, then there has to be a cause.
Yes.
Where there's a beginning, there is a cause, and that cause was God.
Yes.
God is the one that created Isaiah chapter 48. You know, the scripture says a lot, and we don't have, obviously, the time this morning to read all the scripture, but the scripture has a lot to say about God, the Creator.
Yes.
In the book of Isaiah, in the 48th chapter, He said, "Hearken unto me," in the 12th verse. In other words, listen, O Israel, Jacob and Israel, my call. I am He.
Yes.
I am the first.
Yes.
I also am the last.
Yes.
And my hand. Now keep in mind, this is God talking, and God is talking about His hand now. He said, "My hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth. And my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. You know what that tells us? That God is greater than His creation.
Yes.
We look out at the heavens and we see its vastness. And yet, it was just one hand of God that has spanned the heavens. How big is God this morning? When we have needs and problems and trials in our life, remember, how big is God? His hand spans the heavens. Everything that we see out there, the vastness of the Milky Way. The Milky Way is our galaxies, one galaxy among millions of other galaxies that we cannot see with our eyes. How big is God? He said, "My hand, it spanned the heavens." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19. He said, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth." You know, this was not happenstance.
Yes.
The creation was not just something that happened or evolved. It took place by design and by wisdom. It said, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down dew." Now, this is not a science or math lesson, but I'm going to share just a couple things here. The universe demonstrates a designer. It demonstrates a creator. Now, the scripture here teaches us that it was by wisdom that the earth was founded. Wisdom, the infinite knowledge of God, was the one that He's a master craftsman. He is a God of order, and He established order in the universe.
Yes.
That is why here on earth, I never have to question, when I drop something, I never have to question if it's going to fly up.
No.
I know where it's going to go. You'll hear it. It's going to fall down. That's called gravity. Where did gravity come from? Do you know God did that?
Yes.
Do you know that is part of God's design? The gravitational pull. And so you leave Earth's atmosphere on the moon, for example. There's not the gravitational pull. And yet you can mathematically define and understand what's going to happen.
Yes.
Where did mathematics come from? Do you know that mathematics is not a science of chaos?
That's right.
You say, well, teacher, if you students probably shouldn't try this. But if you say, if they say, well, 2 + 2 = 5, and you say, you know, I believe in chaos theory. It just kind of 2 and 2, in this instance it's 5. We know that's not so, and you can start to prove it mathematically. But the reason is because God is a God of order. God created the universe with order. Give you a couple examples. If you haven't studied this, you can go home and research it. But do you know the number of fractals that are in nature? Do you know what a fractal is? A fractal is a small, let me give an example like this. You have a triangle, okay? Small triangle. And you take that small triangle and you replicate it many times over and make a large triangle out of it, composed of the small triangles. Do you know that in nature you will find fractals over and over and over in nature? Do you know what that speaks of?
Order.
It speaks of order.
Yes.
It speaks of a designer. Fractals are never-ending patterns, often from simple structure. Snowflakes are fractals. You can take a small little piece of it and replicate it, and it will end up as the whole. It speaks of order. That's not chaos. It speaks of a designer. Another example of fractals, mountain ranges. In nature, you can take a mountain range and take a small portion of it and replicate it, and it will almost be very similar to the large mountain range. It's a God of order. Heart rates. You know your heart rates are also fractals? You can take a small portion, replicate it, and you get the whole. It's repeated in flowers. It's repeated in biology. Another one. We're speaking about a God of order this morning. Some of you may be familiar with the Fibonacci sequence. Fibonacci, and if I had a board, I would demonstrate. Now, you children in mathematics, you're going to be a step up when you get here. So the Fibonacci sequence starts with two numbers, 0 and 1. And you add them together and you get 1. You add that number to the one before it is 1 + 1 = 2. And then add that to the one before it would be 3. So the Fibonacci sequence is each successive number is the addition of the two previous numbers. Now without a board that may start getting a little mixed up. But here's what the sequence is. It's 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, and it goes on. All right, now you may say, Brother Michael, I thought this was a gospel message. God is a God of order.
Yes, yes.
Now you say, what does the Fibonacci sequence or series have to do with God? I want to tell you what it has to do with God. You take those numbers, and from one to the other, yes, it's the addition of the two previous numbers. But if you take it and multiply any of those numbers by what now is termed the golden ratio, it's 1.6183, and you multiply any of those numbers by that, and you'll get the next number. Do you recognize that that shows up in nature over and over and over? You pick up a flower, count the petals sometimes. Now, it's not always according to one of the Fibonacci numbers, but often flower petals, if you take the seeds that different things grow, if you take seed heads tend up. If you count the seed heads, they'll total a Fibonacci number. It's incredible. It's amazing. If you take a shell, there are shells that follow. The curve on the shell comes from that golden ratio. Have you looked at a picture of a hurricane? You know that spiral on a hurricane? Do you know what many hurricanes, what they will fit? The spiral that comes from the golden ratio from the Fibonacci series. You take the galaxy, you've seen the swirl on a galaxy? Guess what you'll find? Fibonacci series. There are people that even trade the stock market based on the Fibonacci series. It's incredible. It's like, how did this happen? It speaks of a creator.
Yes,
it speaks of a designer, someone that had something in mind, and you will find similarities throughout nature. That did not come by evolution. That came from a designer and a creator that created it with wisdom and order and purpose.
Yes.
if you want to take the time, you take a pine cone too and check that Fibonacci series. And it's also, it's amazing. It goes on and on and on. He said that he created by wisdom the water cycle. Isn't the water cycle pretty amazing? Where did that come from? It was God. He designed it that way. So turn with me then, if you would. Psalms chapter 8. In the third verse. Scripture's pretty incredible, isn't it? God is a wonderful designer. Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. He said, "When I consider thy heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." When I consider that, this is the question that he asked. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou hast visited him?" We consider the earth, 196 million square miles on this earth. The earth from the sun, 91 to 94.5 million miles away. Do you realize if the earth was any closer, any further away, it wouldn't be habitable? Did that just happen? No, it was a designer. It was one that with wisdom and understanding said, "I'm going to create this light and this heat and this energy. And I'm going to create a place that I'm going to create someone for a purpose." Well, who is man? We looked at the universe, and you could spend weeks studying the universe and mathematics and the science behind it, but it speaks of a God of design, a God of order. And now we come down to us here in Prague, Oklahoma, Sunday morning, September 26, under a tent in the park. And we've considered the magnitude of the universe, and I have to ask ourselves, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Is God mindful of us this morning? Does God care what's touching your life? Is God really interested in the things that you are struggling with this morning? Does God really care when we stood and prayed this morning after the vastness of the universe? Do we really think that God heard those prayers? A few weeks ago, a while back, I was driving down the road and I was praying, and the devil showed up in a very real way. I want to tell you what the devil said. The devil said, "This is ridiculous. You've given your life to this, and here you're sitting here praying. You really think God's listening to you? You really think God cares? I mean, you really think that that there's a God? This is just a waste." And I'll tell you, it was really strong. It was more than just this, "Oh yeah, that's just the death." It was strong. It's like, wait a minute. Am I just wasting my time? Am I being foolish here? I mean, I believe what I believe, and I live like I live, and I worship with people like you, and is this foolish? I mean, am I wasting my life? And then I have the audacity to pray and say, "God, there's this God up in heaven that actually is listening to me and answers prayer." And the devil just tried to have one over on me, but I'll tell you, the devil didn't win. But I had to stop a minute and think, wait, is this real? I came to the conclusion very quickly that this is real. There is a God up in heaven that has worked miracles in my life. He saved me from the power of sin. Who has to offer salvation to anyone this morning that can say this can keep you from giving in to the sinfulness of the flesh? They won't call it sin, because if you acknowledge a God, you're going to have to start acknowledging there is some requirements and responsibility to that God. And so the world would like to try to redefine everything to say there is no God. But there is a God, and there is no ideology, there is no philosophy of man in the world that can keep someone from committing the moral violations that the Bible says not to do. Yes. But there is a power that has come and brought change in thousands of lives. How did that happen? There is a God this morning. There is a God that has I've seen with my own eyes, and I've experienced the miracle working power of God. He raised the dead. He healed those that were not. But most of all, the change that He brought in our hearts and souls this morning. And the devil wants to come and say, there's no God. This is foolishness. Wait a minute. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare there's a God. There's order and there's design. But then we say, as David, but who am I? Who is man that thou art mindful of him? In Genesis 1, in verse 27 to 28, on the sixth day, God created man and woman. And do you know what he said when he created it? He said, it is good. This morning, I would encourage you and challenge you, do not forget that you are a creation of God. And it was good.
Yes.
It was good.
Yes.
God made you just like He wants you this morning. All right? The enemy is trying to cause us to devalue human life. He is trying to cause us to devalue ourselves. People are struggling in our world as never before. That I have no value. I have no purpose. But when I begin to understand that there is a God, there is a designer, there's a creator that looked down and He created me, that begins to give me purpose. It begins to give me value. It begins to give me reason for living. And the enemy's doing all he can to tear that down this morning. Well, in Revelation 4:11 it said, Thou art worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor. For Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure, and they were created. You know why God created us? For His pleasure. That there would be someone of their own volition, not out of force, not out of coercion, but someone that He gave a will that they could choose to acknowledge the power and the omnipotence of the designer and the creator God. You know, there's no greater fulfillment in life than following the will and plan of the creator. The world is coming on and trying, especially with the children, young people, saying, you know what? You can't really live to your potential if you serve the Lord.
Yes.
If you go along with what you hear preached and taught here in these services, you know what? It's no fun. You're in a spiritual straitjacket, and you will not be able to live to your potential. That is a lie of the enemy, because there is a God, and there is no greater fulfillment than us as some of His creation, yielding ourselves still today to allow the designer to work in our life as He will. There is no greater victory, no greater peace, no greater satisfaction than completely yielding your life into the hands of the Creator. That's where you will find true fulfillment this morning. Our existence, and this is for each and every one of us, our existence was ordered by God.
Yes, it was.
And if you ever struggle with self-worth, if you ever struggle with, I am a mistake, I'm an accident, I shouldn't even be here, and it was ordered by the Lord that you are here this morning.
Yes.
It was ordered by God. You are a beautiful creation of God. God does not have accidents. We are not here accidentally. We are not here this morning by happenstance. Our existence did not come out of chaos. It came out of a God of order that looked down and He formed us and He shaped us and He values His creation. He values us this morning. Let me say this then with that. That means then that each and every one of us are part of God's design.
Yes.
How's that make you feel this morning? You are part of God's design and plan for this earth. Sin circumvented.
Yes.
God's glory through mankind. The enemy came in. He perverted the will. And mankind chose. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. And God stopped getting the glory that he was looking for. But do you realize this morning that even from the very foundation of the world, that God knew and God had a plan of salvation already prepared through his Son Jesus Christ, that where sin had perverted mankind, that through the salvation of our soul, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we could come back into the image that he created us with? We were created in the image of whom? Does that mean that my hands and face look like God? No. When it said he created us in his image, do you realize that we were the only thing in his creation that he chose to give an eternal soul?
Yes.
God is an eternal God, and he said, I'm going to give man and woman an eternal soul, that their soul will live forever. Well, in the book of Ephesians, there's a beautiful passage. Let me just read a little bit of it. But in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he chose us in him. Now this is talking about the Creator. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, being predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And he goes on and talks about in whom we have redemption through the forgiveness of his Son from our sins through the blood of Jesus. You know that from the very beginning, God knew that sin was going to pervert mankind. And so he had a plan in mind. It was predestined. It was not predestined that this person has to be saved, but the plan of God was predestined that it was the only way of salvation. It was the only avenue for mankind to come back in to a condition to give God glory. It was through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that reaches down to us today. When our lives are wrecked with sin and heartache and grief, there is a plan that God established to come in and renew us, that we could fulfill his purpose for our life. God has a plan for each and every one of us this morning. He has a plan. He has a design for your life. He has a design for my life. The scripture in Psalms 139, it gives a little more information. Verses 13 and 14. It says, God has possessed my reins. He has covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and what? Wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. You know what it means when it says he's covered me in my mother's womb? It means interwoven. God put me together. God created me. Do you know with what is happening in our world for so many years with abortion? Life has been devalued. But the scripture teaches us that the God, the Creator, even from the womb, his hand covered and designed. And we look around this morning. You can start by looking at the person next to you. You might be married to him. Or it might be your son or daughter or your brother or sister. But you know, we look around this morning and we come from different backgrounds. We come from different places. We all have different personalities. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, yes.
You say, well, they grate on me. Do you know what life would be like if everybody was just like you? You know, it would be, life is interesting because God created all of us uniquely. You know, that was by design. It seems like some people, they're never satisfied with who they are. And I wish I could be more like Brother Ed. And I wish I could do this more like Brother Corn. I wish I could just be this. And I'm not happy. Wish I could be taller. And I wish I could be this. And wait a minute. Who created me? God created me. He created all of us this morning worthy of love. He loves all of us. You are a unique creation. You are not an accident. You are not without purpose. God has a plan for you. And it is your unique weaknesses and your unique abilities and your unique personality that God wants to use to glorify Him. That people can look on us this morning and say, where do all these people come from? I mean, they're so different. Do you know what binds us together is our purpose and desire to please the designer. It is to please the creator. And it is knowing that that is the only avenue that's going to one day take us to be with our creator for eternity. So when the devil comes along and makes you feel like you're not worthy of love, some of you may not even understand why we have to say these things. And some of you inside are nodding your head saying, thank you, Lord. This morning, if you ever struggle with who you are as a person, I want you to remember that God created you.
Yes.
God loves you. He designed you. It was His purpose that we have different personalities. It was His purpose that we not all look the same. Isn't it wonderful to go out in nature and see the different birds, the different colors, the different sounds in nature? Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Do you know that's how it is with us? And this is exactly what the prophet spoke about in Isaiah when he said the lion would lay down with the lamb. That wasn't talking about some millennial reign. It was talking about God's creation. God's people having been changed from the power of sin, being able to come in and be in unity with one another with their diverseness of personalities and their differences of administration and their different colors and different languages and all their different idiosyncrasies, that we can come together this morning and be in unity and be one, because we have been changed by the power of Jesus Christ that sanctified my nature. He sanctified my personality. And yes, He's still working on me. And yet, we can come together and be one in unity. Isn't that beautiful? The heavens declare the glory of God, and so should we. As some of His beautiful creation this morning, I'd like to close. I have two more scriptures I'd like to read before we close this morning. We're almost done. In Psalms 139, Psalms 139, verse 17. He said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I believe David was just acknowledging there's a great God up in heaven. And I wondered, how is He mindful of me? I feel so insignificant, so incapable, and yet mankind was the crowning creation. Mankind was His crowning creation. And so David said here, how precious are thy thoughts towards me. You know that the Lord has good thoughts towards you this morning? There's other scriptures that back that up. God is not here wanting to cut you off and condemn you and make you feel bad and just watch you struggle and say, well, I'm up here, I'm God up here, and you're way down here. No, He sent His Son to bridge that gap because He was interested in us as His creation. And David said, how great are thy thoughts towards me? How great are the sum? You want to know the sum of someone's thoughts to you? Sometimes you probably have wanted to know what someone was thinking about you. In other times I tell my wife, I really don't want to know what they're thinking about me right now. Do you know that God has good thoughts to you for you this morning? If you're struggling this morning and maybe you have been in a very difficult place, the Lord has some really good thoughts about you. If you've been struggling about who you are and your place in life, and you're just struggling with your personality and how you look and how you feel, there is a great God up in heaven that is mindful of you. He has not forgotten you. He has good thoughts towards you. He has some good plans for you. As we open up our heart and accept His love, knowing this, that God accepts us.
Yes.
He accepts us because He made us. We're His creation. And then He went on in verse 18, He said, how precious are Thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum. If I should count them, they are more than in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with Thee. God's still here this morning. Say, does God just, was I a passing thought when I was praying the other day and I was asking the Lord for some things and the devil just came along? And you really think God's listening to you? I've got an answer for the devil this morning.
Yes.
It's going to come from the Word of God. Yes, the Lord heard me.
Yes.
And yes, great are the sum of His thoughts for me. If God was able with His right hand to span the heavens, He has the ability to come down and care and be interested and work in each one of our lives individually. So God is interested in you. In closing, if you will turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God has created us this morning for His glory. He loves you. He's interested in you. You are a special, unique creation. Let us never allow the enemy to cause us to devalue others of God's creation. Let us not ever devalue ourselves. If you start beating yourself up and you just start feeling all bad and worthless, remember this. God is a God of order. He designed us and He has purpose for you. And you are one of God's beautiful created children. So Lord, teach us how that we can show you greater honor and glory in our lives. Amen.